Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's February 13, 2017, and this is episode 560. In this concluding episode of a four-part series covering my Hokkaido Winter Photography Adventure Tour for 2017, we visit the Sawaki fishing port at Omu, go inland for some detailed abstractions, and finish our tour with 2 days at Lake Saroma. We pick up the trail at the start of day 9, when we returned to the Sawaki fishing port to photograph the rocky beach and tetrapods that you can see in this first image for today. I really like the high vantage point from the wall above the port that we saw in the last image of episode 559, but with the sea calmer now, it was nice to be able to not only get down on the beach, but also lower my tripod for this low, more intimate perspective. I don't subscribe to the school of thought that says every image needs a good foreground. In fact, I've now seen way too many images that have a really uninteresting, over-accentuated foreground simply because people have had this drilled into them. There are times, however, when the foreground does have enough interest to warrant getting down low and showing the details, and I believe that these wet, black rocks fall into this category. I also like how the sun catches the wet rock more to the right side, and this gradually decreases over towards the left side of the frame. The other so-called rule that I'm breaking with this image is that I put the horizon line almost along the center of the frame. This was, of course, done on purpose, as I like the balance afforded to the image by including almost as much sky as foreground, especially here because there is plenty of texture and detail in the sky. If it was just a plain grey sky, I would have pointed the camera down more. Another thing that I'd like to mention about this image is that I stopped down the aperture to f/16, which you'll probably recall is a third of a stop smaller than my usual landscape aperture of f/14. I did this partly because I wanted a slower shutter speed, but also because I wanted good focus from the nearest foreground to the distant objects. But it does start to introduce just a slight amount of diffraction, which is what happens when light passes through a small hole, causing the image to become slightly softer despite the deeper depth of field. It's not a huge issue at f/16, and I am usually more concerned about this at f/22 if I have to go there for some reason. One thing that I'd been looking forward to testing, though, is the new diffraction correction feature in Capture One Pro version 10 that was released recently. I turned this on under the lens correction tool panel and did notice that the foreground rocks became slightly sharper, so this seems to be working nicely. I'll try it again soon when I have to stop down further, but for now I'm happy that this new checkbox does something useful. My other settings for this image were a focal length of 13mm with my 11-24mm f4 lens, ISO 100 for a 0.6 second exposure. After a morning photographing in the port, we went for lunch, then headed inland to see if we could find some nice landscapes. We did shoot some landscape work with one image that I like with various patterns in the different types of trees, but from the same location, I wanted to quickly share the next set of 3 images. I first noticed this batch of twigs sticking out of the snow just off the road and framed them up in a place that enabled me to surround the twigs with only snow and nothing distracting sticking in or out of the side of the frame. If you click on the image to view it larger on the blog, which you can find if you're not already there at mbp.ac/560, you might be able to see the very fine tendrils on the end of the twigs, which I thought made nice graphic elements for this abstraction. Once I'd found the first image, though, I decided to look for more to see if I couldn't create a mini set of images. A little further along the bank, there was another group of twigs that I found somewhat pleasing, as we can see in this image. I actually prefer this to the first image, as there are less cut-off twigs and more of those tendrils on most of these. With two images in my set now, though, I set out to find a third. Two is just a pair, but three is a set of images. Not finding anything initially, I crossed the road and started walking along, and as the patches of twigs started to run out, I found this last image to complete my set. The major difference between this and the first two images is that there is no crossing of the twigs, none of them overlap. I feel as though this one is almost like a dancer on the right, with a small, very intimate audience watching from the left. I shot all three images at ISO 100 for a 20th of a second at F14. They were already almost black and white, but I did convert these images to black and white in Capture One Pro, and although you won't really be able to see in the web version, the texture throughout the snow looks almost like that seen in textured fine art media, like Breathing Colours Pura Bagasse textured. Because of that, printing on a textured media would probably not work so well. But I'm looking forward to getting some time later in the year to print these out on a beautiful smooth matte paper. After our inland shoot, we started our drive south to Lake Saroma, where we'd spend the last two nights of the tour, in a beautiful hotel overlooking the frozen lake. Our first shoot the following morning was at the Toitoko fishing port. For my first shot from this location, I was photographing straight down between two lines of fishing boats. There are line after line of fishing boats like this, but this is the only one that had relatively undisturbed snow between them, apart from the old footprints, which I feel actually add to this image, mostly because they're smoothed over a little. If these had been fresh footprints, it wouldn't have worked. We had a great sky though, especially that small patch of detail at the vanishing point, so I was happy with how this turned out. You will have already guessed that I shot this at F14 with the ISO set to 100 and the shutter speed was a 50th of a second. My focal length was 27mm with my new 24-105mm Mark II lens. As we started to photograph these boats, Rob Bampton, the incredibly talented videographer that I took along to cover this trip with us, flew his drone about a foot over our heads and straight down the middle of this line of boats. We laughed as the participant next to me felt the wind on her head as we got buzzed. The footage that Rob captured here and throughout the trip is really quite amazing and enables the viewer to really experience this tour firsthand. So I can't wait to share that with you, probably in March, when I've completed all of my winter tours for this year. Going wide for the previous shot enabled me to tell the bigger story of the multiple lines of boats, but I went a little narrower to 43mm for this next image so that I could show more of the detail of these beautiful rugged fishing boats that have been brought up on land for the winter to avoid them being crushed by the sea ice. The sun was coming from camera right, so the texture in the snow is beautifully accentuated, and the backs of the boats lit with a lovely, soft, diffused light from the somewhat overcast sky. I have a tendency to try to include all of my subjects, so I sometimes find it difficult to crop off the top of the rigging on these boats to the left of this image, but I'd have had to go much wider to include that, and that would have taken away the detail that we have in this final image. Sometimes you just have to make a decision and cut off certain features of your subject for the greater good. Again, I shot this at f14 ISO 100 with a shutter speed of a 60th of a second. To my back, as I shot these last few images, there was a line of larger boats that we can see in this image. I was attracted to this line because of the way the snow has drifted, forming ridges between the boats, but also because the larger boats gave us a better look at the screws and rudders, which I thought added something to this image over the previous ones. The bottom of each of these boats is actually a different colour, with some being red and some being blue. It can sometimes feel a little bit wasteful to throw out this colour information, but I personally just prefer to see these images in black and white. This doesn't mean that we simply ignore colour in our black and white images, though. In the previous image, I left the colour channels neutral, but in this next image, I reduced the red channel to minus 35 and increased the blue channel to plus 25 to give me this version of the same image. Not only will you notice that the second boat from the right now looks a little lighter than the first and the third boats from the right, you will also see that this new version now has much more contrast between the rightmost screw and its background, which was the red underside of the boat behind it. Part of my intention with this photo was to highlight the boat screws, so this interpretation enables me to do that much more effectively. In the afternoon, we went inland to a location where there are some nice copses on trees, and first of all, I shot the next image, which I like for its simplicity. The trees are relatively sparse, and I like the fence that lines the top of the hill, then starts to work its way down the right edge in the heavy snow. There was a slightly darker sky, which I think works well here, and then a patch of snow in the foreground, which is much steeper than the rest of the hill, which gives the snow an area of slight variation too. This scene is quite a distance from the road on private land, so we can't climb up to it. But with my 100 to 400mm lens at 400mm, I was able to get this framing that I'm happy with. As we approached this location this year, I noticed an angle that I'd not seen before. So we went there after the previous shoot, and I created a number of images, including this next panorama, which is five 5DSR images stitched together in Photoshop. I've made the web version of this image wider than usual, so open up your browser window nice and wide and click on the image to view it in more detail. Remember too that if you want to stop the images from automatically advancing, just place your mouse over the image. I was attracted to the idea of two separate copses on nearby hills and how the fences seem to punctuate the hillside, in some ways almost stitching them together. This series of images were shot at 255mm f14 at a 20th of a second with ISO 100. The following morning we visited a tree that I have shot many times now. There was a little less snow than usual this year though, so the grasses around the tree weren't as buried as they usually are. This added a little complexity to our compositional decisions, but I was happy with a few photos that I got. This one appeals to me because I was able to get a little patch of clear snow in front of the grasses, but also place these two tall grasses along the left side of the frame. The main thing that I try to do when composing an image like this is to find a place where I can get as few objects leading to the edge of the frame as possible. There are a few grass stems going out of the frame in the middle band, but the foreground was quite clear here. Also, this angle enabled me to place the sun behind the tree, so the bright area of the sky around the sun became easier to manage, and it gave more pleasing shadows as they seemed to radiate out from the tree. This was an 11mm focal length at f14, a 125th of a second at ISO 100. The previous day we'd visited Toitoko fishing port in the morning, so on this day we went back in the afternoon for some slightly different light. I had a photo to share with you from that session, but I chose to include the second example of using the colour channels earlier, so we'll skip that one. The following morning, we basically have a couple of hours to shoot as we head to the airport, so we visited Cape Notoro and photographed the lighthouse there. I was a little disappointed aesthetically to see that they have now put solar panels on the roof of the lighthouse and built a steel fence around it. So my best angle was this image with the foreground grasses hiding most of that. This was also the first day of the trip where we'd had mostly clear skies, which I'm not usually a fan of, but as we had to fly back to Tokyo in the afternoon, this was probably better than a snowstorm, which could have resulted in a delayed return, so all was good. I shot this at 35mm with an aperture of f14 for 1/160th of a second at ISO 100. Again, all of the images that we've looked at today were converted to black and white in Capture One Pro, my new raw processing and image management software of choice. If you'd like to try it, there's a link in the blog post to download it, and you can try a fully functional trial version for, I think it's 30 days. And if you choose to buy it, use the code AMBP for a 10% discount. We'll wrap it up there for this concluding episode of this four-part travelogue. I hope you've enjoyed joining us vicariously as we circumnavigate the northern part of Hokkaido in this true winter wonderland minimalist tour and workshop. If you are perhaps interested in joining us on a future tour, please do take a look at the details on the tour page at mbp.ac/hlpa. And if you have any questions at all, please do drop us a line via our contact form on the website at martinbaileyphotography.com. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. Subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. If you have a moment to rate the podcast or leave us a review in iTunes, that helps to keep us relevant in the huge number of podcasts out there now. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.